friends, family of God, happy Father's Day. It's so good to join with you in worship today. We're going to start with a reading from Psalm 126. It says this: "When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them.' And the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. So restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And this is the God that we serve, the one who takes our tears, and in exchange, he gives us songs of joy. He's the God who rebuilds. He's the God who restores. He makes all things new. He gives us life and life to the full. And he didn't just do great things back then. He's with us right here, right now. He's still active. He's still alive. He's still working. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we say, God, our hope is in you. We know that you're going to give us a song of joy today. Let's lift him up. Come on, let's sing together. Let's put those hands together. Come on. We're here to worship our King, to lift him high. Be glorified, be glorified, oh Lord. Let's do this together now. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. Yes, he has. Savior has done. Oh, see how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Oh, he has done great things. Yeah. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Faithful forevermore, you have done great things, yeah. And I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, yes you will, God, you do great things. With all you got now, come on, sing. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, He's a great king, high above all other kings, worthy of all our praise, worthy of our worship, our thanks. Let's sing to him. You're worthy of it all. You're a good God, worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Sing to Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever see. Worthy of every breath we could ever be. We live for you.
No one like you, perfect Father.
Say, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. Lead me in your love to those around. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever be. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Say, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. In you alone, and I.
trust, we surrender to you. We surrender with hands lifted high. We surrender to you. Let's sing this together. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. For you alone, and every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me, 'cause Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Make that your confession today. Lord, have your way in me. Take over, take over. You can have your way.
Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had come. conquer death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the soul.
Just lift up a little shout, wherever you are, lift it up. We praise the Lord. The kingship of Jesus is good news. When the Lord reigns, the earth rejoices. It's only under Jesus' reign that people from every tribe and tongue, every daughter and every son, get formed together under one Father as one family. Paul the Apostle wrote it this way in Ephesians 4. He said, therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourself with all humility, gentleness, patience. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. And here it is, you are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father over all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And let the people say, amen, amen, amen. One Father, one family. Listen, we want to say a very happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. We need you. The church needs you. Dads, it may feel like you're doing an imperfect job. You might feel unsure of yourself, but let me tell you, there's a special calling on all of you as dads to reflect an aspect of God's nature into the world, to reflect that heart and that care and that nurture of the Lord. And maybe for some of you, this is a difficult day because you didn't have a great dad, and you had a dad that didn't quite reveal to you the picture of God's heart. Or maybe for others of you, you've lost a father. Or maybe some fathers in the room, you've lost a child. And this morning, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you in this moment. So would you just, wherever you are, open up your hands, however you're watching this on your phone, your laptop, your TV, would you open up your hands and let the Father begin to call you in with his love. Let the Father begin to surround you in this moment. So God, we pray that your mercy would wash over us. We pray that the tenderness of your love would find us. Find the places of our fear, find the places of our brokenness. Come gather us in from all the corners of the earth. Be like the father in Luke 15 who went out to get the prodigal and went out to get the older brother. Call us from our rebelliousness, call us from our religiousness. Call us together as one family in your house, we pray. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Church, as we continue to worship today, we're going to give, and there's several ways that you can give. You can text, you can give online, you can mail in your check. And even as you do that, look, the whole spirit of this is children learning to become like our Father. And just as God himself is generous and gracious in every way, so we come and we give with that childlike spirit of gratitude and generosity. Let's continue to worship together as we give.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb that conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the soul.
Family of God, it is so good to worship with you this morning. Pastor Brady is coming to open the Word of God, and I just encourage you to take a moment to prepare your hearts, to invite the Holy Spirit, and to press in, because the Lord has something for you today.
Smile. Ready?
Happy Father's Day, everyone. I hope this weekend has been a huge blessing to all the dads that are watching. Listen, the role of dad has never been more important than it is right now. And I was just thinking while we were singing the songs that it's been 15 years since my dad passed away. And every Father's Day, I just miss getting to call him and tell him I love him. So he's been gone from me a long time. So if you have your father in your life, even if he hasn't been a perfect father, I just want to tell you, make sure you call your dad today and speak life over him and speak blessings over him. It is a great joy and privilege to have fathers in our lives. So happy Father's Day. I know, you know, there's a big difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Mother's Day, we take our moms out to dinner. We cook dinner for them. But it seems like Father's Day is when dad gets on the grill. So if you're grilling today, do it safely. And I hope it's good. If you have any leftovers, your pastor would appreciate it. Okay, so glad you've joined us online. If you're watching on KRDO, we're so grateful that you found us on local ABC affiliate. If you're watching on newlifechurch.org or on Facebook, if you're hosting a watch party, thank you so much for doing that. I hope you're having great interactions. Or if you're on our YouTube channel, thank you so much for subscribing and being a part of this online. And I want to remind you that we are having live in-person worship services here at New Life Church in the northern part of Colorado Springs on Borger Parkway. We have a Thursday night service. We have a Friday night service. two on Sunday morning at 9 and 11, and then Sunday night at 6:30. And all you have to do is go to newlifechurch.org, and there's a spot there for you to reserve your spot. Now, I know that's a bit of an inconvenience, but we're having to manage how big the crowds are, and so this is a way for us to do that, to make sure that when we do come into the building, we can do it safely and responsibly, and everybody gets to go home not sick. That's our goal, right? So we really want you to be a part of these live in-person services. So if you don't have any health concerns, if you're in good health and you're not showing any symptoms or whatever, come be a part of the gathering. I just promise you, we're grateful that we're able to do the online services for you. I hope they've been a blessing to you. But there is something remarkable about hearing other people sing, about hearing the prayers of the saints all around you. There's something remarkable about face-to-face human contact inside the local church. So I want to invite you back into the building as soon as you're ready to do that, all right? So open up your Bible right now to James chapter 3. We're in a series of messages walking through the oldest book in the New Testament. Most people believe that it was the first book written. And we get this view of the very raw, young, organic local church in Jerusalem. And a guy named James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this letter to all the saints. And the saints during that time were under a tremendous amount of persecution. They were feeling pressure from all kinds of viewpoints, the political pressure, social pressure, economic pressure. And so I believe this book speaks to us in the season that we're living in right now here in America, with racial tensions at an all-time high, with the COVID-19 still surfacing around us. We're living under a highly intense, pressured moment right now. And we need to hear these words. We need to hear the words of James. We need to receive the words of James. So can I just pray for all of us? Can we just ask the Lord to give us eyes to see today and ears to hear? Would we allow these scriptures to shape us and to change us? Father in heaven, we hear the word of the Lord today. We give you permission to do surgical work in our lives. We give you permission to change us, to change our opinions, to change our views. We give you permission to convict us today, to encourage us, to strengthen the weak, to, Lord, to disrupt the comfortable, but to comfort the afflicted. Father, we pray today that the word would do all of that. Your word has the power through the work of the Spirit to do all of those things. And so we give you permission to come and do holy work in sacred places today. And we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. James chapter 3, we're going to talk today about good wisdom. If there was ever a time in my life that I need wisdom, it's right now. I'm 53 years old. I've been the pastor here at New Life Church for 13 years, but I'm in a season right now where the message that I'm going to preach today is literally every day's prayer for me. This is exactly what I've been leaning in. I've been asking God for wisdom. I was asking God for wisdom about when to reopen the church, how to reopen the church. I've been asking the Lord for wisdom on how to respond to the injustices that we're seeing around our world right now. And so all of us, this is a message that I pray would speak to all of us. And it's an invitation into the wisdom of God. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace," listen to this, "peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." This is an amazing, talk about contrast in the scriptures. Envy and selfish ambition equals disorder and every evil practice, but peacemakers sow a harvest of righteousness. Let me just stop for a moment. What do you think our world needs right now? I believe we're seeing disorder. We're seeing corruption. We're seeing violence. We're seeing an upheaval in our culture. Not all of that upheaval is a bad thing, but we're also seeing the ugly root of sin surface in our culture. And right now, God needs a people who will plant seeds of righteousness. In other words, if you plant envy, we'll reap death.
This is what James is saying. If you're going to live in competition with other people, if you're going to live a suspicious life toward other people, if you're going to think the worst about another group of people, you're going to reap death. And we're seeing the fruit of that right now in our culture. We are planting envy and we're reaping death. But James gives us another possibility. If we would plant peace, we'll reap a harvest of righteousness. New Life Church and the brothers and sisters that are watching all over the world, this is a time right now. This is a pivotal moment in our story where we have an opportunity to either plant envy, to cooperate with the strife and the chaos that's already happening, to pour fuel on the flame, or we can plant a different seed. We can go into the very soil that's being corrupted right now and plant peace. Our words, our attitudes, our actions right now can call forth a harvest of righteousness. I believe we probably should choose the path of wisdom. I think wisdom is the path that James is calling us to. So I asked myself, I'm 53 and this is my 25th year of pastoral ministry. I've been married 31 years. I have a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old. The reason I tell you all that is I've had plenty of opportunities to make some really bad decisions. And I want to tell you, these are the four things that I'm finding. Why do we make bad decisions? Why do we end up on the wrong side of the right decision? Here, number one is it just immaturity. Listen, it's true that when we're young, we're not capable of making all the right choices. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at your high school yearbook and look at your hairstyle. Look at the clothes that you were wearing. Those were really bad choices. I'm just telling you, immaturity, growing up, gives us the opportunity to make the bad decisions all along the way. Sometimes I think back into my 20s, when I was in my early 20s and even in my early 30s, and I'm embarrassed by some of the things I said. In fact, I'm so grateful that there was not social media around when I was in my 20s. I probably would be run out of the country for all the things that I said and the things that I believed in my 20s that I no longer believe in my 50s. And I'm grateful. Immaturity is one of the reasons we make bad decisions. But I have good news for you. Most of us will grow up. Most of you will outlive it. And I say that funny, but true, it is true. The greatest tragedy in our culture right now is people that get older but don't get wiser. All right, so there's a second reason we make bad decisions is we're simply are tired, fatigue. I don't know about you, but I am a bit tired right now. We've gone through 4 months now of COVID-19. We've gone through about a month of social unrest, and you're probably feeling the same thing that I'm feeling. You're probably have crisis fatigue. You're probably not sleeping as well at night. You're probably not eating. You're probably eating too many carbs like me. And so that fatigue is a real problem right now. Let me just encourage you to make sure that you're not making critical decisions while you're tired. In fact, if there was ever a time that we needed to go to bed and wake up the next morning before making big decisions, it's probably right now. No good decisions happen after 5 p.m. My dad used to tell me that. And it was a lot of wisdom for that. After 5 or 6 o'clock at night, go to bed. Get some rest. Eat well. Go work out. Go do something else. But wake up in the morning, and when you wake up, you always have a better perspective. So just be really careful right now about your bodies and about your mind and making sure that fatigue is not causing you to make bad decisions. A third thing is what I call DUI, decisions under the influence. I don't know about you, but there's probably a lot of decisions that you would take back if you had not had that extra bottle of beer or the extra glass of wine. Listen, right now, I know there is stress, and I'm speaking to you because I want to talk to you human to human here just for a moment. We're living in a stressful time, and the temptation right now is to over-medicate. But when we over-medicate, our brains are not able to make the same decisions. That's why it's against the law to drink and drive. That's why. Because when we drink, the fabric of our brain, when we smoke marijuana, it changes the fabric of our thinking, and we're not able to react and make good decisions. So just be really careful right now. I'm saying this because I love you. Be really careful right now that alcohol and drugs are not causing you to make bad decisions. But let me tell you the reason that most people make bad decisions. And I think it's the number one reason, and it's just simply pride. The unwillingness to admit that we need help. Listen, I want to tell you right now, as your pastor, I am asking for help more now than I did this time a year ago. I realize that I'm in a moment right now that if I don't ask for advice, I can make some really big mistakes. And I'm not saying I've done it well every time, but I am saying to you that pride is usually the reason we don't ask other people for help. And pride is usually the big stumbling block for us finding the wisdom that God wants to give us. All right, so what is wisdom? Okay, what is this? I want to give you a very simple definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever conditions we find ourselves. Wisdom is the ability. Now listen, this is not just having better discipline or being smarter or reading more books. All those things are important. But actually, wisdom is a gift from God. With God's help, with God's strength, because we're asking God for help, God gives us the ability to live skillfully in whatever conditions we find ourselves. Think just for a moment how different the world is today as opposed to last summer. Think about last summer and now this summer. Listen, the conditions have changed. The world has changed. The conditions that you were living in a year ago are different than the conditions we're living in today. And this is why it's important. The world is changing rapidly, but that should not trip us up. We can still have the ability to live skillfully in whatever conditions the world throws at us. So if the world throws a pandemic at us, the Lord wants to give you wisdom. When the ugly seed of racism appears, the Lord wants to give us wisdom. When your financial world begins to turn upside down, when your business model no longer works, the Lord wants to give you wisdom. And I believe there are some of you watching today that you own a business, and suddenly the way you do business is about to change. The way you deliver your product, the way you take care of your customers is about to change because of the pandemic. And I'm telling you, the Lord wants to give you wisdom. How do we find it? How do we find this wisdom? How do we discover this wisdom? Number one, pay attention to wise people. Listen, there are people in your life right now, I promise you, you may not believe this, but the Lord has surrounded you with wise people. There are people in your realm of influence right now that possibly have the solution that you're searching for right now. I don't believe the Lord separates us from people. In fact, the Lord wants to draw us into community. And one of the wisest men in all the Bible was Solomon. He asked God. God gave Solomon a choice between riches or wisdom. And Solomon, in his youth, he was a young man. When God said, Solomon, do you want a lot of money or do you want wisdom? Solomon said back to God, give me wisdom. Give me the ability to live skillfully in whatever conditions I find myself. So listen to the words here of Solomon, the wisest man in the Hebrew Testament. Proverbs 13:20, he says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. And that makes perfect sense to me. If you hang around knuckleheads, you're going to be a knucklehead. That is some good proverbs right there. But if you hang around wise people, smart people, people who are thoughtful and considerate, people who walk quietly and humbly, people who don't post every thought on social media. In fact, it's often the quietest people, the people who are thoughtful and discerning, and they don't speak up over every topic. That's actually the people you need to seek out because they're actually thinking before they speak. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Look at Proverbs 15. He goes on to say, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So I want to stop here for a moment. When was the last time you went to another human being and you said to them, I don't know what to do. Could you please help me? Now think about that question. When was the last time you went to another human being and you looked at them face to face, or maybe it was over a phone call, or on, right now maybe it was on a Zoom call, however you're communicating. When was the last time you looked at another person and said, I am not sure what I'm supposed to do. I'm uncertain. Can you please give me advice? Just this past week, we hosted a round table with two black families, and and we had some great conversations. And if you've not seen the service from this past weekend, go to our YouTube channel and you can find it right there. I hope you look at this conversation. But before we did that, before I had that conversation, I went to some of my black brothers and sisters and I asked them, what are some good questions? What is it that you need to say to the white community? And I said, I'm not certain how to ask you good questions. Can you please help me? And one of my dear friends on a phone call said, Brady, here are some things that black families want to say. Here are some things that black families need to communicate to their white friends right now. And I wrote down the questions, and those were the very questions that I ended up asking on the stage. And the reason I got those questions clear is because I asked one of my black friends for help. Plans fail. Now, I want to tell you a story out of 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam was a young guy, strong. He was heroic. He was the actual son of Solomon. And his dad died, and Rehoboam became the king. And he encountered his first crisis as a leader. Suddenly, he has this authority. He has this ability to lead, and he finds himself in an absolute crisis. So let me show you this story real quick. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. So when he happens upon this problem, he had a revolt. He had some things happening in the kingdom that he needed some help with. He said, how would you advise me to answer these people, he asked. And they replied, if today you'll be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servant. So the elderly men that had served Solomon well said to Rehoboam, go to the people and serve them. Be a shepherd. Be kind. Don't stir up strife. Try to find reparation. Try to find peace. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and that the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. And listen to what they said. He says, what's your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. I don't know exactly what that means, but apparently that was trash talk back in the day. It makes no sense to me. But my father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. Now think about the contrast of those two counsels. The elderly men, the men who had lived life, the men who had a track record of helping kings succeed. These elderly men had helped Solomon succeed. Listen, it's very important about who you're listening to right now. It's super critical right now in your life. Listen very carefully. You might not be listening to the right people right now. And the way you decide who you're listening to is, what is the fruit of their counsel? Think about the elderly men who were helping Rehoboam. Serve them, bless them, be kind to them, and you're going to get back what you sowed into their life. You're going to get back serving and kindness and grace. But the young men who wanted to prove something to the world said, no, put the heat on them, be unkind to them, be strong, bring out the whip. Listen, you know what Rehoboam got? He got back the very violence that he gave to his people. And I'm just encouraging you right now. Some of you are at a critical, pivotal point in your life. And the group of friends that you might be listening to may not be giving you good advice right now. It might be time for some of you to find another set of counselors. It might be time right now for you to expand your circle of influence and find godly people who will give you godly advice. Worldly people will give you worldly advice. Godly people will give you godly advice. And it's important that we surround ourselves with wise counsel. Ask, pay attention to wise people. Here's the last thing. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God. Pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let me just affirm something to all of us, including myself. I lack wisdom. I almost every day pray that prayer. Father in heaven, I don't have the answer. I'm not the man with all the answers, but you are. Lord, your eyes are upon me. Father, I remember I'm in the palm of your hand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can take me from the palm of your hand. You've adopted me. You've called me. You've sent your Holy Spirit to reside in me. You've given me your continuously articulate scriptures. But Father, I need wisdom. Father in heaven, I need discernment today. Father in heaven, I'm going to find myself in precarious places today, and I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. Dads, all the dads that are listening to me right now, you want to be a great dad? You want to go from being a good dad to a great dad? Start praying that prayer. Father in heaven, I need wisdom today. Maybe you are a dad and your kids are about to become teenagers. Listen, I never was afraid of my kids becoming teenagers. I was afraid to get in a car with them. I was afraid to go riding with them. But I never was concerned about my kids becoming teenagers. You know why? Because I knew that the Lord would give me wisdom for every season that my kids were going to walk through. And now my daughter is 19 years old. In fact, she's running the camera that I'm looking at right now. My son is 21 years old. And I look back now on my parenting life, and I did not always make the right choices, but I found that God could give me wisdom every time I asked, regardless of what stage my kids were walking through. The Lord wants to give you wisdom. I want to end our time in Isaiah chapter 11. And I want to pray this prayer over moms and dads. I want to pray this prayer over students. All of you who are watching, I want to pray this prayer. Listen to this prophecy about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is a prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the reason I'm reading to you this prophecy about Jesus is because this is also available for you. For those of us who have surrendered our life to Jesus, what was prophesied about Jesus is now being prophesied about us. So Father in heaven, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on us. I pray that the Spirit of wisdom and understanding would rest on us. I pray that the Spirit of counsel and of might rest upon us. And the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord may rest upon us. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And we're going to sing this beautiful song. It's called The Blessing. And I ask them to sing this song on Father's Day because I'm asking that dads right now, I know you may not be good at singing. You may have never done this before. But I want to show you how to pray over your children, how to pray over your home, how to speak life over your children today. And so would you stand with me in your homes, and those of you in the room with me right now, let's stand together and let's pray this prayer as a blessing over our country. Receive this blessing first, and then let's begin to pray it over our kids, over our marriage, and over our homes. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you.
We say yes, Lord. We open up our hands, we open up our hearts, we receive your blessing. We know that every good gift comes from you, our Father above. We say thank you. We are grateful. We're a grateful people. Thank you, Father. Let's sing this together.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Let's confess this together.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you turn his face toward you and give you peace.
We say, let it be so.
And
got something with you to receive communion, the bread, a cup, some crackers, juice. The blessing of God is available for you today. The wisdom of God is available for you today. All of us have been stuck in our own foolishness. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have wandered along our own wicked way. But Jesus has come after us. And so right here in this moment, would you just confess this? Would you open up your hearts and say, Lord, help me. Lord, we've sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. God, we're truly sorry and we humbly repent. And we receive now the mercy of God. We receive now the grace of God. We receive again afresh the forgiveness of God. Jesus, on the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, and when he had given thanks to the Father, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Whenever you do this for the remembrance of me. And after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks to the Father, he gave it to them, and he said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many. The forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Friends, these are the gifts of God given for us, the people of God. Let's receive this now. Now, right here in the moment, in this moment, just begin to thank God. Just begin to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He heals all our diseases. He forgives us all our iniquities. Let's bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, lift it up. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace that abounds to us.
We thank you that where we have failed, your mercy comes running in. And where we have sinned, your grace abounds even more. We thank you that even in our foolishness, your wisdom comes to us. So we give you thanks in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we're so grateful that you've joined us this morning. And be sure to come back, same channel, same spot, same platform, same time. And of course, if you want to join us in person on Monday morning at 9 a.m., go on newlifechurch.org and reserve your spot at any of our 5 services and come and worship with us. Now may the Lord be with you this week. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.